Well, joining me now for a look at the equity scene is Lonwabo Maqubela from Perpetua. Thank you so much for your time, Lonwabo. Quite a lot of chaos in the markets, particularly when you look at our currency declining more than 2% against all the major currencies. We're literally close to 20 rand against the US dollar right now. The JSE is in the green. The rand is sinking into the red even further. What's the deal?
Yeah, I think that... probably unsurprising, but the rate hike, I think definitely did put some fear into the market, especially considering, you know, that it was unanimous. And then also they're guiding to further inflation because of the current weakness that we're seeing in the currency. So you're almost now in this feedback loop whereby, you know, higher rates results in rather high inflation results and lower growth results in a weaker rand, which results in high inflation, you know. So at some point, you know, you end up being in a bit of a circular feedback loop until you, you know, you see the inflation number coming down.
But Lonwabo, this is very interesting because obviously the Reserve Bank hikes interest rates to stop the rand from weakening any further. And we have seen, even with previous hikes, straight after the MPC meeting, the rand actually strengthening. But it's completely gone the opposite way. It's quite interesting now that you say, I guess it's that further fear of where the economy is going right now with these interest rate hikes. What does this mean then for the Reserve Bank going forward, that today's decision did not impact the rand at all? In fact, it made things worse. What does this mean then?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it does, you know, it does put the odds of another series of rate hikes, you know, going forward. I mean, if you think about it, the last rate hike, which was also a 50 basis point rate hike, was precisely because they had seen that the currency had started weakening and they preempted it. You know, so this one is a bit more of a reactionary move. And then they're still guiding actually to the current account deficit widening. So you've seen the oil price recover and some commodity prices, the ones that we export, decline. You know, so they're seeing actually further pressure on the currency going forward. And then lastly, maybe, you know, government also has got to be funded, you know, and likelihood of foreign funding becoming a bigger share of our funding. So all points to further weakness in the currency.
All right. Well, let's go on to monetary policy moves abroad, particularly from the US. We did have the Fed minutes coming out last night, seeming that there was, unlike the Saab, there was quite a split in terms of some committee members saying that the Fed should continue tightening, some saying that maybe they should look at pausing, considering the things that we've had that will affect economic growth, including the banking crisis. Do you think that this opens the Fed up, or that it opens up the Fed for room to actually be less aggressive going forward?
Yeah, I think it's there's definitely signs that, you know, the inflation coming down and that rates have peaked. I mean, when one considers the recent tight financing conditions and the banking failures, they basically are a sign that the Fed has probably got to slow down if they don't want to cause any more harm. Effectively, over the last 2 to 3 decades, every time rates have gone too far, you've seen banking crises in the U.S., you know, and there are certainly signs of stress there. So I think as much as they're working very hard to get inflation back in line, you know, the signs they are moving direction, you know, in the right direction. They also need to be cognizant now of the impact on banks, firstly, and then secondly, and I think Jamie Dimon mentioned that the best way for a bank to improve its capital ratios is to stop lending, you know, so that then has an impact on the economy, you know, should the banks do so. And in fact, they are doing so. So they also need to not probably start taking into account, you know, those second round effects on the economy.
Well, talking about stress, investors of Southern Sun are stressed because there's no dividend that's been declared, even though the company has recovered significantly from COVID-19. They've swung from a loss to a profit. Occupancies are significantly higher than the prior period, even though they're not back to pre-COVID levels. But yeah, talk to me about those results and those results not translating to a dividend.
Yeah, I think it, I mean, obviously a good set of numbers. I think, as you mentioned earlier, HEPS came in at 30 cents a share. They made a loss of 9 cents a share in the comparative. And then you would have seen occupancies going, I think, to around 51% in the 30s. I think they peaked actually pre-COVID at 59%. So there's probably still upside there. And then I think what they did actually manage to do, actually two major things I think they managed to do during this downturn was firstly, they sold some hotels. Some of them, they sold them back to Tsohoi Gaming. So those are the ones that are linked to the casinos. And they sold a casino in Nigeria as well. So they managed to actually reduce their debt, from north of 2 billion to $1.5 billion. Which they did well. I think what they also then managed to do was to then secure some management contracts that they didn't have before. So obviously there is a downturn very well. Those are actually higher end hotels, like the likes of the Westin and Arabella and Mount Grace. So they did well to do that. And I think, I mean, it's fair for them to be, I think, conservative given what they've just been through. They probably want to be in a position where they have as little debt as possible so that they can withstand any uncertainty that may arise, including that may arise from load shedding.
All right. Well, let's get to your stock pick for today, Lenovo. What will it be?
Yeah, I mean, almost in contradiction to what I was talking about earlier in terms of the near-term move for the rand, and I do think that often the rand goes through episodes of crises and tends to come back. And I mean, those episodes I mentioned the last time have become shorter, in between. So I would have liked a longer stretch between these episodes. But nonetheless, I do think actually it's a good time to be buying, SA assets. I think sometimes we think to ourselves we only have to do one thing, or we tend to be very binary in our thinking. Actually, we can do both. And I think, with lots of companies now trading on 7 PEs, 7% dividend yields, 5 PEs, 10% dividend yields, I think one can find a basket of domestically focused shares that actually will do okay. One of the things that we've noted is that many more management teams are trying to value unlock themselves through selling assets, paying more dividends, and there's definitely this impetus on the go, which we think will actually drive shareholder returns to be quite decent from current levels.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time and for giving us the insights into what has moved the markets today, Lonwabo. That was Lonwabo Maqobela from Perpetua.